good morning. Good morning. Welcome to the Lighthouse. It's so good to see all of you this morning. And today is our Youth Sunday. Once a month, we invite the youth to help out in some different ministries, just to get involved and share their talents and gifts. So today I have AJ with me, and he's going to help with our announcements.
Today we will be having a baptism right after service. We will be going to the Tamachi Creek for anyone who would like to get baptized or would like to come to show support.
All right. And then we have family camp coming up tomorrow. That is in Warsaw, Ohio. The details are on the flyer at the door and also on our website and in our church app. If you want to come for the whole week, it's not too late. You can call that number and register, or just show up the day of and register, or you can just come down for a day and check it out. We have two mighty men of God coming, so Bishop Russell Hilton and Pastor John Rhodes. You will not be disappointed to hear their sermons, either one of them. And then on Tuesday, we are doing a spa day for all the ladies, so if you're going to pick one day to come, come on Tuesday. We have service at 10 a.m. You can do some lunch on your own, and then 1:30 starts our spa day. And for all the men and kids, they're doing kickball that day. So if you want to pick one day to check out family camp, Tuesday's your day.
Men's Mentoring Moments is this Friday at 7 p.m. right here at the Lighthouse.
All right, and we're really trying to pamper our women, so we also have a Tri-State Women's Retreat coming up in September. So that is going to be Kentucky, Ohio, and Indiana districts are all coming together, and we're going to hold that in Lafayette, Indiana. So there's a lot of information at the welcome desk. There's a sign-up sheet if you're interested in going to that, and all the financial information is there that you can look at. If you want to get a hotel room, tomorrow is your last day to book it for the cheaper rate that we have. So if you do want to go ahead and get that booked soon. Or you can stay in the campground, and that's a lot cheaper. So if you don't mind roughing it like me, bring your sheets and stay in a dorm with a bunch of other women, and we can all hear each other snore, and it's all good. So if you don't mind roughing it, you have until the 15th to register. And then if you would like to sell something, we are having a vendor fair, so you do need to sign up for that if you're interested in selling something, and you can see me for more information.
There will be no Lighthouse Connections this month. We are taking the month of August off, and we'll meet again in September.
All right, and at this time, Pastor Caleb and Miss Paisley are coming with our call to worship scripture. Can we give AJ a hand for helping us out this morning? We appreciate all of our young people. We love and appreciate them and care about them so very much.
Good morning. I had to choose my favorite verse. So my verse is 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love in a sound of mind. What that means to me is that if you are in depression or in a dark room or in bondage, that God loves you through anything and during your mistakes and has power over you.
This morning, if you'd like to stand, there's four baskets. We'd like to receive our morning tithes and offerings. There's four baskets across the front.
Dear God, I pray that during this service, Lord, that you can let us have a good time. Let us fellowship together. Lord, let us pray and have a good time, Lord. In Jesus' name, we all say amen.
Before we sing this first song, there's a little explanation and a scripture I want to read. But in Isaiah chapter 54, it says, "Sing, O barren, who have not borne. Break forth into singing and cry aloud, you who have not labored with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married woman, says the Lord. Enlarge the place of your tent and let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Do not spare, lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes, for you shall expand to the right and to the left, and your descendants will inherit the nations and make the desolate cities inhabited." Amen. In those barren places in our lives, I believe God is ready to do a new thing. Amen. In those places where the enemy may have said, everything is dead, There is no fruit there. I believe God is calling us to enlarge the places of our tent or make ready for what God is going to do. And that might mean something different to all of us. It might mean using your voice to speak in faith what God is doing. It could mean cleaning out a physical room in your house for what God is going to do. But I believe the enemy would like us to make ourselves small and to be silent. But God is calling us to get ready for all that he is doing today. So as we sing this song, I pray that you would just begin to let God speak to you about your barren places and about the work that he's doing in your life and in our church family also. And how we can be open, how we can enlarge our tents in this building. How can we be ready for the people that God is bringing in, for the hurting that he is calling us to heal in Jesus' name. You
for the Spirit of the Lord would say to you, I am enlarging your borders, but not in the way that you think. I am enlarging your capacity to love. I am enlarging your capacity to walk in joy. I am enlarging your capacity for long suffering. I am enlarging your capacity to experience peace. And as you allow me to enlarge my capacity in you, that is when you will see the increase. Hallelujah. Lord, we receive it right now. We receive your word right now, Father. Church, I'm going to ask you just to raise your hands if you receive the word that the Lord is speaking to you. It's not for one person, it's for every person. Father, we just surrender. We want your will more than anything else. We praise you, we worship you, we glorify you, and we receive what you are doing, Father, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
The blood, what can make me whole? at the blood. Oh, I plead the blood. I plead the blood of Jesus. It's more than enough. Oh, I plead the blood of Jesus.
Invite you to do something this morning as they continue to play this song. We're going to sing it some more, but I feel like we need to give a time and opportunity to respond to what God's doing in our presence. God spoke to us through prophetic word. It's the gifts of the Spirit, and if you're not familiar with that, I always like to do this. This is, I believe, a pastoral duty of mine to explain when the gifts of the Spirit are in operation in the place so that you know what's going on. The Holy Spirit moves upon individuals to minister to His body. And prophetic word comes for the reason to build us up, to comfort us, and to help us or guide us, right? And so the word came forth this morning explaining to us, and I believe this is going to really help you understand what you've been going through and facing right now. The word of the Lord came forth to help you know that, yeah, God is enlarging us, but not in numbers of people. But He's enlarging some things in our hearts so that we have the capacity to love like we've never loved before. So we have the capacity to walk in peace like we've never walked in peace before. So that we have the capacity to live in joy like we've never lived in joy before. So you need to understand this. The thing that you're facing right now, the thing that feels so hard, the thing that you feel like has knocked you down and you don't know if you can get back up, the reason that you're facing that is because God is enlarging your heart. Well, that's not fun. No, it's not. But how many of you know that when you've gone through something, you're much more compassionate towards others who are going through something? You have to understand this, church, that you don't really know you have peace until it's tested. When everything's going well, it's easy to say you have peace. When you like everything that's taking place in your life, you can say you have joy. The truth is you have happiness. When you feel like all hell is coming at you, that's when you know you have joy. That I can keep marching on. That's what the Holy Spirit is saying to us. And then they begin to sing this song, and I heard the word of the Lord come to me to give you an invitation. Because I know that you're facing a lot. Listen, I believe that this church is in such a spiritual battle right now. So many people are being hit from so many directions. So many things are coming at us because we are on the verge, the precipice of seeing God do something great. But it's not, let me just warn you, it's not going to look like what you think it's going to look like. And it's not going to happen the way you think it's going to happen. And the truth is, it has to start here before it can ever go anywhere else. And so we begin to sing this song, and the Holy Spirit said, give them an invitation to come together and just pray for one another. And this is what I want you to do. I invite you to come up front because I think it just makes you uncomfortable. And I think that it's good that we get uncomfortable. In a day and age where everyone's looking for comfort and easy, God's calling us out of that complacency. But I'm not saying you have to, but this is what I want you to do. This is what I heard the Spirit of the Lord direct me. Go pray for somebody, especially if you are going through it right now. I mean, if you are just getting hit hard, you go find somebody else to pray for. And don't you tell them what you're going through. Don't you pray about anything you're going through. You pray for them. You look at them and say, hey, what's happening to you right now? And I'm going to join my faith with you so that I can pray with you about your need. And we are going to do exactly what this song says. We are going to plead the blood of Jesus over our family. And when I say family, I'm saying those who bear the name of Jesus, that family. You hear me? So don't think, well, I don't have any family here. Yeah, you do. We're all family. And so I'm challenging you right now. Oh, yeah, very uncomfortable. I know. Oh, man, I got to step out and ask somebody. Well, I don't have the words to say. Even if you grab somebody's hand and say, Jesus, help them. You don't know how powerful that prayer is. Jesus, help them right now. So as they begin to sing this song again, see, this is part of worship. This is where we mess it up. We have all of our forms and all the things we do in church, and we call that church, and it's our pretty little service that we have. No, no, no. This is part of worship. Prayer is part of worship. And coming together in unity and loving one another is part of worship. So I'm giving you the invitation as they begin to sing. Find somebody to come pray with. You might think they don't have a problem in the world. You're wrong. You're wrong. Go find somebody to pray with as we sing this song. Jesus.
Me can't take my family, 'cause this home belongs to the Lord. And I'm not afraid to remind him that he has no place in this world. I feed the blood. I plead the blood of Jesus. It's more than enough. I plead the blood of Jesus. Oh, I plead the blood. I plead the blood of Jesus. Defense, I claim it over and over again. Oh, I plead the blood. I plead the blood of Jesus. It's more than enough. Oh, I plead the blood of Jesus. I
for my future means I need nothing but the
situation you got going on with your neighbor, God, we plead the blood. We plead the blood over that situation. You think you don't know what's going to happen. You don't know how you're going to pay for that medical bill, whatever bill that comes in, God, we plead the blood. Right now in your name, Father, we plead.
God's vision and plan brought to pass in this church. Our hearts as your pastors is to see a people who care. It starts out by, starts with caring for one another, and then it moves into having a compassion and a heart for the people around you. And it moves from there to people you've never seen before. But you just love them because the love of Jesus Christ is in your heart. And you just want to see God move in them. See, the lighthouse is a place that shines so that people don't run into the rocks and wreck. That's what a lighthouse is. And so we're a beacon of hope for the world. For the world. Do you realize that at 3 o'clock, we have the nation coming here? Seriously, the nation comes here. Outside of a little town called Cary, Ohio, the nation comes here every week because we have opened our hearts. We've opened our hearts to love people. And God is taking us into a new place. And yeah, it hurts. It's not fun. I know many of you have faced all kinds of things. And I want you to know this, it's not people. Take your eyes off the people that are hurting you. Take your eyes off of the situations in your families, at work, wherever the situation is taking place. It's not that. It's spiritual warfare. And the weapons of our warfare are not earthly, but they're powerful to the point that we can pull down strongholds. And when we are pleading the blood of Jesus, that's what we're doing. We are pulling down strongholds. And so I think, are you guys going to sing the song Spirit of the Sovereign Lord? I want you guys to go and sing that. This is what God has spoken over this place, that he has anointed us and the Spirit of God is upon us to preach the gospel to the poor, to bind up the brokenhearted, to set at liberty those that are bruised, to open up the blinded eyes, to set the captives free, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord, the day of grace that is here. Amen. And so if you can just stand to your feet as we sing this song as a proclamation of what God is doing in us and for us and through us. Because I believe that this is a very special moment that God has come to be with us. And this is a moment of building. From this point forward, God's going to build upon this. God's been doing some amazing things. Even in the midst of the struggles, God's been doing some amazing, miraculous things. And so let's just sing this song together and worship God together. Can we do that? And we'll get to the word this morning and all that. The word that God's given me goes right along with what is happening in this service. But let's just give God a few more minutes of our time alone with him and just give him praise and hear what he's declaring over this church. Amen.
Good news.
wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God.
Our God is an awesome God.
Our God is an awesome God.
Can you lift your hands and give the awesome God some praise right now? Let's just give Him some glory for what He's doing. And thank Him for hearing our prayers. He's answering them. He's moving in this church. He's moving us forward into the vision that He's spoken over us. Hallelujah. We declare it right now in the name of Jesus, and we give you thanks for it. We give you thanks for it. I want to just share two quick testimonies. I'm going to do it for time's sake. One was last week. Sister Brenda came and was in pain. Her arm was hurt. If you've heard the report, you know, she got pulled down on it and injured it. And we prayed, and I'm telling you, God began to move. And was it later that day, right? That Sunday, she turned to you, Brother Randy, and said, God's doing something. And all of a sudden, she lifted her arm further than she could, and she began to move it. And they go to see tomorrow, right? Wednesday, they go to see if they're going to have to do surgery. We're standing in faith that there's not going to be any surgery because she's doing better, right? Praise God for that. The other one is Sister Tammy shared with me while we were praying that she was at a concert last night, and I don't know who all was with her, but there was like 16,000, you said? 16,000 people there. It was a Christian concert, people there to praise Jesus, and a man, because of evil in this world, and he allowed it to get into his heart, decided that he made a bomb and brought weapons, and he was going to attack those people that were there and injure them. But everybody say, but God. But God intervened, and he never even got to start his plan. God rescued those people and saved them. You say, well, why are you saying these things? Because we just prayed. And the enemy is going to try to come in and bring doubt. If you remember a couple weeks ago, the message about faith and doubt and how that's part of the warfare of our faith and fighting the good fight of faith is doubt comes in, but we have to press through that and believe. Well, that's what we have to do here. And I'm giving you testimony of God's goodness. And even when we don't see Him working, He's working. I don't even know how many people know that that was about to go down. She was just walking down the hallway to go to looking for the bathroom, and she began to see some things happen, was able to talk to an officer and that was weeping, right? Because of the goodness of God that just saved everybody. And so that's how she knew. So sometimes God's working and doing things in your life and you don't even know it. Sometimes that flat tire that you're so frustrated about actually kept you from being in an accident that would have totaled your vehicle. So did God make a flat? I don't think God made a flat tire, but God allows things to happen. And sometimes it frustrates us, makes us mad. And what we don't know is God's actually working behind the scenes doing something greater. That's why we should get out and do a shout, a Jericho march around the car and say, thank you, Jesus. I may have a flat tire, but you kept me and you've given me the ability. Another testimony, Justin, that happened. That literally happened, Justin. She just got a new car and the first day she really took it driving. She hit something, got a flat tire. And lo and behold, there was somebody there that was a man of God that helped her. And he said, you know what? Walmart will put you a new tire on. Why don't I just go with you? Because you're a young lady and I don't want them to take advantage of you. And he took her to Walmart, and when he went in there, he looked at her and he said, hey, the tire's on me. I got it. Bought her a brand new tire, got it, her back going on her way. God blessed her in that moment. Yes, and when he left, he said, me and my wife are going to be praying for you. Don't tell me God's not working and moving for us. That's why I'm telling you this stuff. Because your situation may feel impossible right now. But we serve the God that does the impossible. Amen? Can you one more time just lift your hands and give Him praise this morning? Thank you, Jesus, for saving the lives of our brothers and sisters. Thank you, God, for what you're doing in my sister's arm. You're healing it. You're completing that work, and we thank you for it, Lord. We thank you for moving in our sister and keeping her safe with her flat tire and all the other things, God, that you've been doing that we don't even have time to go into, God, and all the things that we don't even see you doing, Father. Thank you. Thank you. Let us always be grateful for what you do for us. But more so, God, thank you that we can be in your midst, and we can be in your presence, and we can be with you. So grateful that we can spend time with you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We give you all the glory and the praise and the honor. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. At this time, we're going to dismiss our students. We have Firehouse Kids this morning, that's ages 6 to 12, and we'd have our teen class. We also have a preschool and a nursery, 3 to 6 preschool and a nursery class. You're welcome to take your kids back there, your babies back to nursery. I'm so thankful for what God is doing in our midst right now, and I want to just kind of quickly move into, I don't even know where we're at on time, I don't really care, but I want to move into the word that God has put on my heart for today. It just so aligns with what the Holy Spirit started doing in our time of praise, and as we have come together to worship in this moment, God is really speaking a clear word to us. And so if you have your Bibles or your devices, I want you to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. You can follow along on the screen. If you don't, if you have a YouVersion Bible app, you can go to our live event and follow along and keep notes. Hopefully you got your papers for this week's Bible study. Okay, and so we're getting some more printed. If you didn't get that, if people needed some more for Wednesday night Bible study or of our Digging Deeper, there's more being printed right now, so make sure you pick one up before you leave. We do have Bible study this week. And just so you know, that Bible study, I believe, is going to go a little bit different direction, but it's connected to the word that God gave me this morning. But I'm going to connect this specifically, just so you know. There's some overall general themes we're going to talk about. But I'm going to connect this specifically to baptism, because those of you that know, we're going to have a baptism service. And every one of you are welcome. So right after service, why don't you come on down to the creek with us and join us and celebrate those that are being baptized. And let me just say this. After the message this morning, if you feel like God stirs in your heart and you're like, man, I didn't sign up, but I feel like I need to be baptized, get baptized. All right? Don't feel bad. Jump in the river. Make sure you take your cell phone out of your pocket first. But, you know, jump in with us and get baptized, because sometimes God stirs something in us when we hear a word. Sometimes before, like sometimes we just get a feeling. Like you may have woke up, I had some people tell me, you know, I just feel like I need to get baptized today. And I'm not signed up for it. That's okay. All right? We want to do that with you and for you today. And so I'm going to link this message, while it's not just about baptism, I'm going to link it to baptism because I think it's important that we reflect on it a little bit before we move into that this morning. And so here in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, I want to just start by reading verses 1 and 2. And I have some other passages that I'm going to be sharing with you, but I don't have a lot of notes because I just want to do some expounding on the Word of God. The Bible says this: "For I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea." Notice that second verse. "And were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea." And what I want to talk about this morning is
preparation for the season. That there's always a time that God prepares us so that we can go into a new season of our life. But here's the thing, church. We often miss it. We miss it. Why do we miss it? Because we get so focused on our day-to-day activities. We get used to our routines, and then we get focused on our routines. And because we do this routine all the time, we begin to get stuck in a rut, and we put our lives on cruise control, and God is the Lord of our life. And so when He's getting ready to change the season on us, He gives us signs and gives us steps to prepare. But because we get so used to doing the same thing all the time, we ignore it. How many of you, don't raise your hand, but I'll raise mine, because I'm always guilty of this every year. How many of you know that when the leaves start falling off the trees and we move into autumn season, they change color? These are all signs that we're in autumn, we're in fall. That after all the leaves are gone, what season comes next? Winter. How many of you, I do this every year, don't get around to raking all the leaves up before the snow comes on the ground? I mean, I am so guilty. Matter of fact, I can't even remember the last year I actually got a rake out to rake up the leaves. Why is that? Because I'm so stuck in my routine. This is what I do every day, that even though the season is changing, I'm not changing with the season. I want to keep doing what I've always done. But yet I need to change and reschedule something, put something in the middle of it so I can take care of the shift in the season, right? And what you have to understand here is that that is exactly what God was doing with the people of Israel. And we know this because Paul, writing to the Corinthian church, makes it very plain for us after it already happened. Someone who was very well taught in the Jewish culture, very well taught in the scriptures and in the Old Testament. And then God radically saves him and changes him. He was a Pharisee. Now he's a Christian. He's able to take Old Testament scriptures and apply them to New Testament concepts. That's why he wrote so much of the Bible. God used him and gifted him in that way. And so what he's doing for us, even for the church today, is he's helping us understand what God was actually doing. And so I want to just real quickly, pray for me, because I want to do this real quick. And sometimes I start expounding on stuff and I just keep going and going and going and going and going. I used to tease my grandpa. We used to call him the Energizer Bunny. He just keeps going and going and going. And now I'm guilty of it. You reap what you sow, right? So you have to understand the process, and you're going to get into this Wednesday a little bit more. But when they applied the blood, let me just go back to the story of the children of Israel. They're held captive in Egypt. They're slaves. And God is trying to send them out and get them free from that. And so Moses is going to Pharaoh saying, "Let my people go." And Pharaoh keeps doing all this stuff, and he acts like he's going to let him go. Then he doesn't let him go. And 10 plagues hit. And the last plague was the death angel. And the death angel killed all of the eldest males everywhere, unless they had already made preparation and had a Passover meal and slaughtered a male lamb without spot or blemish, took that blood and put it on the sides of the doorpost and the lintel, which is the top of the doorpost. And when the death angel saw the blood, he passed over that household and did not attack the oldest. That's why they call it Passover. They celebrate this, and there's so much in that that I know that you're going to jump into on Wednesday. But you have to see this first, is what God was doing is he was, and this is even said all the time, he was delivering his people from the hand of Pharaoh and the slavery that they were in. And while that deliverance was instantaneous, it was also a process. And this is where we miss it. The blood's been applied. They had to pass through the blood. For them to be able to leave the houses that they were in, they had to walk through the blood. We have to go through the blood. We sang it this morning, the blood of Jesus. Just so you know, church, I will never stop preaching the blood of Jesus Christ. I will never stop preaching His cross. I will never stop preaching His resurrection. I don't care how much it makes people uncomfortable. It's supposed to. It's supposed to challenge them. We need the blood of Jesus. Can I get an amen? So I'm not taking away from that this morning. They had to pass through the blood. That was the instantaneous deliverance that they received. They were walking out. And this is how deliverance works, is they people who enslaved them were even asking them to pray for them, right? Bless us as you go. And here, we'll give you all this stuff. Take it with you. Because now we realize we've done you wrong. We never paid you to do the work. And so now we're just going to bless you with all this gold and precious gems and things like that. Take it with you. So that's the initial act of deliverance. But what did they have to do? They had to keep walking. And this is where us Pentecostal charismatics, we miss it. We have a God moment, like some of you have even had this morning. The presence of God comes and touches us. We know that we've had an experience with God. We know that even thinking about just the saving part of it, right? That the blood has been applied to my life. I've passed through the blood. I've been redeemed. I've been bought by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And now I'm saved from my sins and I'm set free. And hallelujah, I've had my deliverance moment. And we step outside the door and stop. And we're still in the midst of Egypt. We're still in the midst of our captors. We're still in the midst of those who want to enslave us. And the only thing we can do, because we're not moving forward and following where God is leading us, because we're standing there, the only thing we can do is keep pointing to the doorpost and say, well, the blood's applied. The blood's applied. The death angel passed over. The blood's applied. But you still feel enslaved because you've never walked out of Egypt. And we think because we had this glory, hallelujah moment, this instantaneous deliverance, that it's all good. Yes, it is good. You're free. So keep following God. Because if you don't, then you leave yourself in Egypt. You leave yourself in the place of the captives. So we have to move forward. So while deliverance is instantaneous, God does a work right then and there. It's miraculous. Now He says to us, come and follow me. Right? And in the following, we move from one season to another season. But what you have to understand is God doesn't just do that and catch us unaware. He always does something to prepare us to go into the next season. Just as we have the four seasons here in Ohio, we know when it's coming. I mean, how many of you knew when summer was coming? Right? Things started turning. Plants were already up, but now the green grass, all of a sudden, it's getting hot. It ain't so green anymore. How many thankful all the rain we just got? We needed that rain. So we know when those seasons come, but because we're so busy, we miss the seasons that God is taking us personally through. And He's wanting to prepare us for those seasons. And I'm here to tell you that God is preparing this church right now. The word He just spoke this morning, everything He was doing in worship, the prophetic words that were shared last week, and that they've been coming from multiple different people in our church, that God's been hearing Him speak. It's preparing this church, this local group of people who come and meet together for a new season that He's taking us in. And yes, it's been hard and it's been difficult, but God is doing something in us that's so much greater than what our comfort is. He's getting us out of being comfortable so that we can do the things that He needs us to do, so that he can reach this broken world that's hurting and in so much pain and needs to be rescued. And so in this, I want you to see that God leads them. They leave Egypt, and he leads them outside of Egypt, and they're on the verge of something. They're on the verge to go into the direction that God has promised them. He said, "Leave, and I will show you a place that I prepared for you, one that's flowing with milk and honey. It's beautiful, it's wonderful." But before they could ever enter that, they had to go into a season of preparation. And before they even entered the season of preparation, they had to pass through the waters. God purposely leads them to a dead end. This is what we don't like. And I understand, I'm blessed and highly favored. I'm blessed coming in, I'm blessed going out. That's the word of the Lord. But while I'm blessed, God leads me to dead ends that are blessed. And my humanity says, how in the world is this a blessing? This is a dead end. I got nowhere to go. And now I got the enemy nipping at my heels, saying they're going to take me out. Because now they're mad. Because now they've realized, yeah, we just let our slaves go. And our workforce just left. And oh, by the way, all of our oldest firstborn are dead. Now they're angry. And the children of Israel are standing there at the edge of the Red Sea. And they have nowhere to go. And it looks like an impossible moment. And remember, we serve the God of the impossible. God led them there on purpose. You know, they could have went the shorter route, but that's not where God took them. How many of you like to travel with people that go the long way? Raise your hand. We got a few, yeah. It's fun, right? I don't mind that as long as I got the time. The problem is I usually don't have the time. Not only do I take the shortest route, but I push the speed limit as much as I can. Because I think to myself, I don't have the time. But could it be that God's preparing us and doing something in us? Maybe he's working one of those attributes called patience. That's part of his fruit that we really don't like. That's no fun. And so he leads them there. And we see God do the great miracle in Exodus. God parts the Red Sea. They walk across on dry ground. They get all the way across. Now listen, there's so many people. Just getting them arranged and in order to move together was a miracle in itself. Let alone get them across the Red Sea on dry ground. It was an amazing miracle. And then the enemy comes in after them, and the Red Sea comes crashing down upon them. And they're saved. Miriam grabs her tambourine and sings a song of victory. They all praise God because they've passed through the waters. But I want you to see this scripture if you can put 1 Corinthians 10 back up there. It says that they went and passed through the cloud and the water, or the sea, and that it was a baptism into Moses in the cloud and the sea. What does that mean? Well, you see, God was getting ready to give the law of Moses. It was going to be a new season for his people. They were going to receive his commandments in a way they never had received them before. And the way that he prepared them to receive that is he brought his cloud down to first cover them. That's significant in the baptism of the Holy Spirit coming upon his church in the New Testament. And then they passed through the waters and were baptized in the sea. Say, well, how is this important? Well, let me just read the next passage of Scripture to you so I can show you something that God began to reveal to me, not only about baptism, but about the process that he takes us through, even as he has delivered us and is delivering us. So Luke chapter 4, verse 1 says this, "And Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan," everybody say Jordan, "and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness." Now, this is what you have to understand. This is following, if he's coming from the Jordan, that means this is following Jesus' baptism, his water baptism. John baptizes Jesus in the Jordan River. That's when we see the sign of the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove come upon him. It's meaning that the Holy Spirit is upon him. This is the anointed one of God, the Messiah, the Christ. And we hear the voice of the Father, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." We hear him speak those words. We see that this is the mark of God himself on this man, that this is the Christ, the Messiah. He gets baptized, and now the Spirit of God is upon him. That's the representation of the cloud. He's baptized in the water. He comes up from the water. Now, I know that Colossians teaches us this, and we're going to get into it later, that we are buried with Christ and raised anew. That's what baptism is. And we always talk about baptism as being a sign that our sins are forgiven, that they're washed away, that we've been buried with Christ in the tomb, and when he rose, we've been risen to a new life in Christ. All of that is true. But if we stop there with baptism, then we miss the rest of what God's doing. And I understand that in Matthew, Jesus tells us that it was expedient that we fulfill all righteousness, so he tells us that we should all be baptized just like he was baptized. But if it's only about the remission of sins, if it's only about us being buried and risen with Christ, then why did the sinless one get baptized? Because Jesus didn't need remission of sins. Jesus didn't need forgiveness of sins. He was perfect. And if we just say, well, it was just so he could show us the pattern, that is true, but we're missing some deeper things about baptism. Because if you read this passage, he returns from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness. Huh. What happened to the children of Israel as they were baptized in the cloud and baptized in the sea? Where did they go after that? The wilderness. So that tells me then, church, that God is doing something with baptism that's more than just the surface understanding of we have our sins washed away and we're set free, and all that's great, and that's a great testimony. I believe it's all part of when people first get saved, they should do that. Why? Because, listen to me, they are entering into a new season of their life. They have just been born again by the Spirit of God. And so now you want to go and be baptized in water so that you can recognize to yourself and tell the world that Jesus Christ has just been born in you and gave you a new life. And that means that you have entered into a new season. And that baptism is a preparation for you in the new season. It's a washing off of the extra things that were on you that aren't needed to be on you anymore. But I want to tell you this, that as Christians, we are going to enter new seasons, and there'll be times of testing, which we call the wilderness, which actually is a beautiful place to be. We hate it. We always want to get to the land flowing with milk and honey. We always want to get to the glory cloud. We always want to get to where God moves. We always want to get to the conquering part where we start taking ground. And that's true. But we can never, ever get there unless we pass through the wilderness. And before we can ever make it into the wilderness, there's a preparation of a transition that God does in our life. And so Jesus himself even says, I'm getting ready to enter a sacred moment with God. And to do that, to move into this new phase, I am going to be baptized first. And in that baptism, there's something spiritual that takes place that happens. The Spirit of God comes down upon Jesus Christ in bodily form of a dove. It's visible for all to see. And God begins to move and says, yes, now I have marked him. And the Bible says that he was full of the Holy Spirit when he went into the wilderness. What does that mean for us then? That means that when we go in different seasons, there are different phases that God takes us through in our life. And there are moments of time that he will give us another baptism of the cloud and baptism of the sea, because he's getting ready to take us into a new season. And that is the preparation we need. What does that mean for us, church? It means this, that there is a fresh application of the anointing of the Spirit of God that we need for every season. That's the cloud. And there is a washing and a purifying that we need for every new season. That is the sea. And there are times in our lives, I'll even say this, this is why I made the statement earlier. There are times in our lives that we physically need to just go get baptized again. Because we need to tell ourselves, as well as God and everybody else, this is a new season, and this is a new day. And I'm getting ready to go through some tough stuff, because I've never walked this area before. I've never been here before. And the only thing that's going to get me through what I need to get through is the Spirit of God and his touch upon my life. And it is a cleansing and a washing of his word and of his power to keep me in my wilderness season. And whether you physically get baptized or not, there are moments in your time with God that you're alone with him that you need to slow down, hit the brakes all the way to the floor, put it in park, and get out of the car. See, we want to just slow it down. Well, 25 slow enough, Lord. That way I can still keep moving, because I got to keep moving. Because this fast-paced society we live in, we got to keep moving. We got to keep doing. We got to keep going. When he's saying, no, I'm inviting you to get out of the car and spend some time with me. And this is what God's doing in this church right now. He's inviting us to slow down, to put our schedules aside. You know why? I'm going to tell you something right now. You know why there's so much anxiety in our world right now? It's because of the pace we run at. It's the pace we run at. I got to get to my next appointment. I got to get to this appointment. I got to do this. I got to go get this done. Get this done. And now Pastor reminded me fall's coming. Summer's almost over. So now I got to go home and I got to get ready for fall. So I got to find where my rake's at. And I got to get stuff ready, get my trash bags around. I'm out of the big trash bags. I got to go to the grocery store and get the big trash bags. Come on, church, you know what I'm talking about. This is what we do. And it creates anxiety and worry and fear that we're not going to get done what we need to get done. And by the way, my house is dirty and I need to get it clean, and the dishes are full in the sink and I need to get the dishwasher loaded or the dishes going, and then I'm doing the dishes and I look over and I'm like, oh, I needed to bake that thing for this other thing that I'm doing. And then it's just ongoing, never stopping. And God's saying, wait a minute. Wait a minute. And we won't listen. Stop. And we won't listen. So he has to lead us to a dead end. Because that's the only way he can get us to stop. Anybody else's toes hurt right now? Mine do. Notice it's called a dead end. Because he's ready for something inside of us to die that we're holding on to that we don't need anymore. It's not necessary for our next season. And when we stop and listen, even in our frustration, God will do something miraculous, like split the Red Sea, so that we can walk through it. The Bible tells us He'll make a way where there seems to be no way. This is what He does. And it's hard for us to understand and see it in the moment because we are so wrapped up in our schedule. We're so wrapped up in what we think we need to be doing. And God is saying, no. This is what's needful. If it was up to anyone else, the children of Israel would have never went towards the Red Sea. But God said, no, this is where I'm taking you. And He was giving them an opportunity, listen, to leave behind in their deliverance, to leave behind the mentality that they had gained in Egypt. And as they were passing through the sea, it was meant to be, according to the Bible, a baptism into a new way of thinking, the law of God that He gave Moses. But the problem was, is they had to spend 40 years in that wilderness walking around because they missed it. They missed the moment of what God was doing as they passed through the sea. They celebrated the miracle, but they missed the message. And because when they got to the edge of the promises that God had said for them, 10 of them came back with an evil report. Said, it's impossible. We can't do it. There's giants in the land and we're like grasshoppers compared to them. But 2 of them said, hey, this is what God spoke. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. They held on to what God said, while 10 of them saw with their natural eyes. 2 of them got the message through the miracle. 10 of them did not. And that caused another hard season for the whole nation. What a heavy word this morning. But I'm here to tell you that God is giving us an opportunity right now, church. You individually, and I believe this church as a whole. That He's going to take us into a season, and some of you already feel like you've been in a wilderness season. And that may be true. Can you embrace it? Can you embrace the journey while looking forward to the destination? Can you enjoy your time and let Him transform your thinking? You see, because I got another scripture I want to read to you, and I want to show you something here. It says this in Ephesians chapter 5. It says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave Himself up for her. Now this is focusing on Christ now. Christ gave Himself up for the church that He might, that Christ might sanctify her, which means to set her apart for Him only, having cleansed her by the washing of the water of the word. You catch that last part? By the washing of the water of the word. Do you know that the term baptism actually just means a washing? It's a washing. And that's why we preach and teach very clearly that getting baptized won't save you. It won't. Just because you're baptized doesn't mean you're saved. You have to go through the blood to get saved. Can I get an amen? Amen. But baptism is an act, and it's a spiritual act we do that God has cleansed us from those sins. But baptism is also an act that God has just cleansed us. And before we get ready to do something else, there are things that we do in our natural life to prepare for the transition. So what do you mean? Well, in our household, every time we have a meal, not breakfast so much because people get up at different times, but for lunch and especially dinner because we try to do dinner together, my wife usually is the one that say, all right, kids, supper's ready. And then she makes a statement. I already saw Tasia lipping it. Go wash your hands. All right, guys, supper's ready. Go wash your hands. Why? Because we're transitioning from activity to coming together, spending time together to partake of something, to put something in us. But we want to make sure, grab this, that what we put in us is not defiled by something that was on us. Man, that makes me want to run around the church right now. We want to make sure that what we're putting in us is not defiled by something that's been on us. And so before we change seasons, before we move forward and do something different, many times God spiritually will take us through a washing because he's getting ready to put something in us that's needful, that we need nourishment, we need something new, but he doesn't want it to be defiled or tainted by anything that's been going on around us outside of us. So there's a washing that takes place and it's a preparation for what's next. See, we literally just do this, and this is the old-fashioned way. We don't do it like this anymore because we have indoor plumbing, but it's literally like this. The next time we're going somewhere, doing something, moving into a new phase, we wash our hands. Why? Because there was something on it. Even things I can't see. It's there. And I need to prepare myself for the next step so that I can take what God has for me and put it in me, but I don't want it to be defiled by what was on me. See, God sanctifies his church. How? By the washing of the water of the word. The Bible says he sent his word to what? Heal our disease. Man shall not live by bread alone, but what? By every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. It's the word, right? It's the word that we're getting ready to put in us. But God has to take us through a time of a cleansing or washing before we can eat the word. Because if we don't, guess what happens? It's defiled. It's tainted. And we take that in a perspective that we're not supposed to. We perceive it in a way we're not supposed to because we're perceiving it from maybe a natural standpoint or maybe a place where we were hurt in our heart, a place where we were offended, something that happened to us. And now when we read that word, we read it from that perception or that perspective, and God saying, no. Let me take you through a cleansing first and get the stuff that has come upon you off of you first so that I can give you my undefiled word. Because you're going to need that to get you into the next season. See, what was the word for the children of Israel? It was the Ten Commandments. It was the law of God. But they had to be cleansed first so they could receive it. But some of them missed it. And some of them didn't grab the message and the miracle. And so while they passed through the sea, they didn't let the sea pass over them. And just as we talk about moving from death to life, in the sense of being saved and rescued from our sins and a baptism in that. And it's part of our deliverance, church. You need to understand that. It's a necessary part of our deliverance. That's why Jesus said it's needful that you fulfill all righteousness and you get baptized. Just as much so, it's also a part of our sanctification as we're being delivered so that we can continually be set apart and what used to be dead that's hanging on us has now been washed off of us and we're made new and clean. Let me read this in Colossians to you, and I'm trying to bring this to an end so that we can receive what God has for us this morning. Having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised him from the dead. In the Old Testament, the priests used to have to washed their hands and feet before they could even begin to do their priestly duties. Why? Because they would take a bath or a shower at home, but from their trip from their house to the temple or tabernacle, they would get dusty. And they knew that what God had called them to do was holy and pure. And so they had to rinse off the stuff that got on them in their travel so that they could handle the things of God in holiness. I don't care if you got baptized 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35 years ago, and we'll stop there. Don't want anybody to feel old. I don't care how long it's been that you got water baptized. This is my question. When's the last time you let the Holy Spirit lead you through a cleansing of your heart and your mind so that you didn't allow the things of this world to taint the things of God in your life? When's the last time that you slowed down and you stopped, came to a dead end, and was willing to die from some things in your life so that God could raise something new in you? See, here's the wonderful, beautiful thing about our salvation story and our Christianity is it doesn't stop when we step outside of the home and pass through the blood. It doesn't stop there. God wants us to follow Him. He wants us to pass through the waters, and He even promises us He'll be with us. He says, I'll even take you through the fire. I'll be with you. What will I do? I know that the wilderness is scorching hot. There's hardly anything there. There's no provision in the wilderness. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to cover you with my cloud. And while I have you covered with my cloud to make sure that you're not burnt to a crisp through this difficult season, I'm also going to let manna fall from heaven that will feed you. Here's the shame of the thing, church. Sometimes we look at God like the children of Israel do and said, I'm tired of eating the same thing. Why? It's all this manna all the time. How many of your kids do that to you? What's for supper tonight? Leftovers? Again? Because that's what happens in my household. I don't know if it happens in your household. Again? I hear that all the time. Yeah, again. Why? Because it provides what you need. The manna or the word of God is what you need. He's covering you. He's providing what you need. It's not a glorious banquet. Why? Because you haven't stepped into the promise season yet. You're in the wilderness season. He's going to give you what you need. Because He's teaching you something. He's testing you. And He's showing you that the joy He's given you, that the peace that's upon your life, that the love He's shed abroad in your heart, it's real. It's real. It's not just something we talk about on Sundays and Wednesdays. It's real. It will last. In your hardest moments of life, it's there. And He wants you to know that. And in His goodness, He takes us through the hard seasons of life so He can show us how powerful He really is and what He has done for us. So this morning, I believe this is what I believe God's wanting to do. Even later, when we go to the creek, we'll baptize some people, and I hope that you, this is going to be so meaningful for you that are receiving baptism today. And I hope it's going to be so meaningful for you now that you hear this. But I think even spiritually, church, there's some things that have clung to us just because of our travels, the busyness of life, right? And we keep going, and because we don't know how to stop and slow down, those things, they start collecting. What the Holy Spirit wants to do, Sister Debbie, if you can come back to the piano, what He wants to do this morning is He just wants to spiritually just baptize us. He wants that cloud cover to come over us and keep us safe. We can be in His presence. We can be in the Spirit of God. But He wants to cleanse us from things that have begun to gather upon us. It's just like this. Wash your hands. Get the hands clean so that you can partake of what God has prepared for you in this season. And it won't be defiled by any earthly thing. Before he ever took Moses to Egypt to lead his people out, he had a holy moment with Moses. There was a fire, a burning bush, and the bush wasn't being consumed, and it was just a fire. And so Moses goes aside and he begins to look at it, and all of a sudden God begins to speak to him. And an interesting thing he tells him before he even begins to give him direction is he says, take off your shoes, for the ground where you stand, it's holy. Sometimes we just equate that only to, well, you know, it was a human thing, a man-made thing, and so we want to remove those things of the world. And that's true. It's so true. But God just recently showed me this, and I just felt this morning I need to share it with you. But it was also because even that sole of the shoe was that much separation between Moses and God. And God is saying, I don't want there to be anything between us. Not even that much. No layer of the world on your skin. I don't want anything there because this is holy ground that I've invited you to. And I want you to be able to sense my touch. I don't want you to be callous from what's happened to you in this world. I don't want you to be immune from this in any way because, oh, this is just what we do. No, I want you to sense my touch. Because where I've brought you to is a holy place. Can we let him just wash over us this morning so we can sense and know his touch? Like there's nothing in between us. It's just his hand in our hand. There's no callous there that we've allowed the works of life to build up. No. Let him purify us and cleanse us so that we can feel his touch. Because this is what I believe. I believe where two or three are gathered in his name, he's there in the midst. Why do I believe that? Because that's what the Bible says. And I also believe this, that the times that we don't sense his presence isn't because he wasn't there. The times that we don't experience him in a fullness isn't because he didn't want us to. It's because we didn't realize that we were on holy ground. And we didn't remove the thing that was separating us from sensing his touch. Can we do that, church, as he prepares us for the new season he's taking us in? Whatever that may look like for you, whatever that looks like for this church, can we take a moment, not just worship him, not just praise him, but really let God remove some things from us? I believe this, there's some of us in here that have some barriers up that we feel like we had to put to protect us because, you know, world's tough. World gets hard sometimes, and so I want to make sure that nobody hurts me. So that's up. But we don't know how to take them down with God because they're always up. Some of us have some hurts that are unforgiveness, and that is keeping us from being able to fully sense God's touch. Some of us have offense, and we don't even realize it's there. God's saying, yeah, you know I'm present, but you're not experiencing the fullness of my touch because this thing
is holding you back. And God's saying this morning, no. He's inviting you to let the word that you just heard wash over you and remove any dust, any stuff. I'm not saying you're not going to heaven. I'm saying he wants a closeness with you that you've never had before. That's why he's opening up our hearts so that we can experience things in a way we've never experienced them before. Let me pray, and I invite you. You can come to the altar. You can pray in your seat. I just want you to respond to God and like you're the only one in the room with him. Can we do that? Nobody else is here. It's just me and God. Father, we thank you for this invitation you're giving us right now by your Holy Spirit. We feel that cloud covering us like it did your people when you were leading them out of Egypt. God, we sense that you're taking us through the sea right now in a form of baptism that's helping us to be even more so delivered from the thoughts of this world, from the patterns of this world, so that we can come into alignment and in tune with you and follow after you. So God, I ask you right now, there are things in our heart and our mind that are separating us from the closeness that you want from us. We ask you to wash it away. May it die in us right now and bring us into a new life, just as being baptized in water and raised to a new life again. Let that area of our heart, let that place in our soul be renewed right now, Father. Change our hearts. Renew our minds, Lord. We give ourselves to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Sister Debbie, would you lead us? And let's just take some time alone with God.